Our first scripture lesson this morning is from 2 Corinthians 1, verses 3 through 7. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all consolation, who consoles us in all our affliction, so that we may be able to console those who are in any affliction with the consolation with which we ourselves are consoled by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. If we are being afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation. If we are being consoled, it is for your consolation, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we are also suffering. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation.
Thank you, Mike. Right, as the slide says, today is our third Sunday with our sermon series titled Everyday Heroes. And I needed to admit that having this series with the theme of hero may reflect the human tendency that is real in me, which is wanting to talk of heroes in a disoriented time like this pandemic. So I needed to say this clearly before we go any further. Let's be reminded that what we do is not worshiping heroes of a society. What we do is the worship of the Lord in whom we live and trust. With that in mind, so let us find God's message and promise for us as we seek for it in light of what we can see in the heroic actions of healthcare workers. Right, in these days of public healthcare emergency, healthcare workers on the front line of fighting the pandemic are being called heroes. We all see why. And as we are grateful and give thanks for their works, we know that in the beginning, at least in the beginning stages of this pandemic, they were asked to treat the COVID-19 patients without sufficient personal protective equipment or coordination. And their suffering still continues in the face of overwhelming numbers of patients. We hear here in the state of Wisconsin that about more than 90% of hospital rooms are now occupied. So in the caring of the healthcare workers for their patients, they take the day-to-day battle, day-to-day risk are taken as they are exposed to the virus. We truly have witnessed healthcare workers' courageous and sacrificial actions of caring. But here, this week, in my preparation for this sermon, I came across one article with an eye-catching title called Calling Healthcare Workers Heroes Harms All of Us. And it made me pause and think twice before going any further to write this sermon. So the team of three writers for this article says, I quote, "The more space the hero label takes up, the harder it will be for them to authentically express themselves. It is as though we are saying, tell your story through the hero lens of our cultural imagination, or don't tell it at all." End quote. Right? We should be careful not to fail to hear their cries for repair of the broken and malfunctioning system in which they are hurting. Have we thought that the issue of organizational accountability may be being eclipsed with the blinding light of individual heroism? And that's what we have seen with the issue of honoring veterans too. So I hope that we could hear today directly from some healthcare workers among us about their predicament and about their how we can support and advocate for them. But at least let's not forget the importance of being attentive to their struggles too. That way, let's not make the mistake of saying hero for us, not for them. Let's be also careful not to create an impression that everyone in the healthcare and nursing professions are expected to provide frontline care in this pandemic, right? What the reason why we honor their services this week is not because we assume that everyone is on the front line in this battle. No, but because they're honoring their service. And most importantly, let's be reminded again that, as I said last Sunday in our honor of veterans, heroes are not select few. Right? Heroes are not select few. I quote the article again. There is a genuine danger that if only an exclusive few are heroes, the rest of us won't have to act heroically. If the heroes are taking care of everything, we can let off. The hero label has an isolating, immobilizing corollary. Meaning, their actions matter, mine do not. End quote. People are people. There is no one who was born to grow to be a hero. Actions makes one be called hero. Actions give a person the title of a hero. Real heroes do not live necessarily an amazing, glorious life, performing miraculous achievements every day. Instead, the real heroes are those who chose to do what is right, what is life-giving, and what is community-serving, even when it is not popular, even when they are facing fear. And this call is applied to everyone. And when we leave the call with our own profession and in our own life context, certain values must shine bright through our actions, and our actions are deemed as heroic. So in this pandemic, healthcare workers' heroic actions certainly not just made us be thankful for them, but also inspire us to take actions like theirs in our own lives. Their heroic actions are marked with compassion and determination. Those values that have been lived out through their actions are something that we can learn. These are what I see also in the four friends in the story of from Mark chapter 2 verses 1 through 12, which is one of my favorite healing stories from the gospel. Here is a challenge that I want you to take up this morning. In this slide, there are four pictures, and I will introduce the story to you, and you find the right order of those pictures. And for those of you online, you can write the order in the comment sections. And I know many of you already know this story very well, but please wait until I finish introducing this story. But thinking about what is the right order of those pictures to match the story. The story goes like this. It is when Jesus is teaching and healing in one house in the village of Capernaum that people wanted to get in the crowded house to see what he does and what he says to the people. But there are paralyzed man and his friends outside the house. They desperately wanted to show the sick friend to Jesus, but they can't get in. But they have an idea. So they lay their friend on a stretcher and carry it up to the roof of the house. The roof is probably made of thatch and mud. So they begin digging their way down to make a hole large enough to lower the stretcher until their sick friend on the stretcher is found by Jesus in the house. Now you know the right order of those pictures, don't you? There might be some tricky because Jesus doesn't look like what he has been known to us. What is the right order? B, C, A, D. Did you get it? Okay. Here, imagine with me that people in the house must be surprised, howling, as the dust and the mud begin to fall on their head. Jesus must be surprised too. But more than that, Jesus was impressed with the actions of the four friends. The scripture says, Jesus saw their faith. And he said to the paralyzed man, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up and take up your mat and walk." Don't you see something interesting here? What Jesus notes is not the faith of the man in need of healing. In fact, here we don't find any voice of the man on the stretcher. We don't know if he had faith or not, but his friends sure did. Enough that they are willing to carry their friend and dig through a roof to put their friend in front of Jesus. And because of their faith, the man was healed, says Jesus. I'm not saying that the faith of a person in need of healing is not important. I'm not saying it. But this story reminds us that all of us need stretcher carriers. Not because we are on a stretcher, right? But we all need such a friend as those four friends who will, yes, be compassionate and tenacious, just like we have seen in the healthcare workers and caregivers. Also, we all needed to be that kind of stretcher carrier for someone who is in need of support. I imagine that on that day, the paralyzed man might have lost all hopes, but his friend had not. His friend had not lost hopes for their friend. What scene of the paralyzed man is Jesus talking about? I guess it might be the scene of giving up hope when Jesus is near. It is a church where we have such friends as this stretch caring friends who will not give up on us, pray for us, and have faith for us when our own faith becomes weak and feel paralyzed. In the same way here, in this community of faith, in this body of Jesus Christ, each of us is a stretcher carrier for others. When the others feel helpless, unable to move forward at all, suffering in the loss of hope, we, as their stretcher-carrying friend, in compassion, pick them up and carry them through. We don't give up to bring them to Jesus in prayer. On the one hand, I feel that with this pandemic, the image of a stretcher-bearing friend might not hit home with us. Because this pandemic doesn't favor such a close contact, right? However, it may still be very true to most of us that we feel paralyzed. In other words, we feel that we are unable to have things under control. And needless to say, among us are those who feel helpless in their battle against aggressive cancer or under the pressure of a financial stress or with the heavy responsibility of caring for aging parents. Even if you might have had confidence about your health, with the surge of COVID-19 cases, now you might feel that you are bound foot and hand. Or you might have long struggled with anxiety, shame, or anger. Or perhaps hurt in a certain relationship. Or painful memory of abuse, maybe from time to time, make you feel paralyzed, keep you from getting up and moving forward. We need stretcher carriers. We need to be carried to Christ. And we need to be stretcher carriers. We need to carry one another to Jesus in prayer, compassion, and yet tenacity are needed. And this is one of the ways that we can do a ministry of healing by bringing people to Jesus' loving and healing presence in prayer. Yes, as the 2 Corinthians scripture passage that Michael read for us reminds us, we have Jesus. We have each other. I read the scripture again. Just as the suffering of Christ is abundant for us, so also our consolation is abundant through Christ. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our consolation. Yes, we are blessed that we can comfort and encourage one another by reminding us that Jesus is present with us. So there is a reason to hope. There is a reason to have confidence in life. It is Jesus by His steadfast, loving, compassionate presence that we have been able to offer this Jesus and reveal Jesus to others. What then? Will we have a COVID-free life? As long as we live in a perfect relationship with Jesus? Probably not. Will everyone who prays always find the healing that they desire? Of course not. However, what is always true is, as we have sung it today, our life is in God, our Lord. I do believe that God desires what is good for us, and then I do believe that God is doing it. I do believe that God still heals people in many different ways. God's healing may come even when cancers are not cured in the ways that we have wished, because the healing might be different from cure. And a mysterious gift of God's healing may be given to most of all, our heart, even when a pandemic raises and comes near to our neck. What matters? What are important? Our compassion and determination matter. Our connection and intercession are important. Our hope is unshaken because God is unshaken. Our prayer, our ministry of healing can be persistent because the love of God is persistent and steadfast, and because God is in this together with us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Now, I invite you to sing with me the song that sends us out into the world back. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.